Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So do we have each other's backs on this?
100%.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Well, but I mean, I don't want to rain on your plate on your parade, Clinton. You're very excited about 7-10 camp.
Yeah.
And
it's going to be great.
Yeah, and I think the people that are excited about it should be excited about it.
Sure.
Trav, we'll lend support. We have no interest in being there, shouldn't have to go.
And you will not be discussed when we have boatloads of fun at Camp 7-10.
Great, well, I don't think they care about that.
Hey, do you promise?
Yes,
because
I promise.
Sign up for this right now.
I promise.
We'll take that back.
I promise. Awesome. We need to address some things here. I'm in the community, the Sedano and Cap Circle of Trust community, which basically has become where we discuss all shows at this point.
Yeah. I'm in there, but I never go
from at Vinny V37 at 11:59 a.m. Pacific. Been waiting for the Travis Yates diss finally here. Now, all I've done is supply this man's house with personalized baseball gear for him and his family to enjoy. Mm-hmm. I've brought come bearing gifts to both you and Sliwa.
It's true.
Generalized fun. I try to be, you know, the president of, never mind the Handsome Man community.
Went to Louisville, came back with some love.
Back. And I'm getting strays.
Beef?
No, apparently I'm getting strays from Twitter users because you're throwing shots. What's going on?
Here's what's going on. We were talking about the softball game,
and yeah.
We got on the subject of basketball.
Well, okay. Right, it was the camping. Who's not going to come? Who's
not
this?
Camping,
who's
do but
that?
Summer
it,
camp.
It circled all the way back to the softball game.
By the way,
game.
Can we have summer camp in the spring? I think you make a good point here. If you're going to do it, you
camp
should do it in
camp.
The summer.
Well,
right?
They said spring. I think
if,
they,
if you're
oh,
not
that's
going,
right.
We certainly don't need your comments on when.
No, I don't care.
You can do it. Look, do it during a Sunday during Ram season.
Yeah,
sure.
When there's a Laker game.
Exactly. Now we got to cover.
So what were?
So the question, I forget whether it was it might have been you, Al. That somebody asked the question with softball, because we were talking about basketball, like who's going to do this?
I'm who's
like,
going to take it competitive?
Yeah, who's going to be competitive? And somebody asked who, my response was, everybody either kind of delivered what I expected them to do, but there's a handful of people that maybe underperformed my expectations.
Okay.
Because I had very high expectations for you.
He thought more was coming from
I thought you were going to be some version of Ozzie Smith
well,
and
Robert Mantle.
As I told you all from the beginning, you were way too focused on on-field performance as my goal for the day. My goal for the day was getting
I feel
through
like you
and
were,
having a decent
you were
game.
Leaving some signposts.
I was the one who said we should get an umpire. I was the one who tried to organize everything outside of the game.
Right.
My
That's
concern
the point.
Was never my performance.
It was but then when you started saying things like the field was too small and
it
that's
is.
Why you didn't hit home runs.
I didn't say that's why I didn't hit home runs. I said I think it affected the outfield
listen,
play.
Listen, this is what he thought coming into the game. You're going 4-for-4 with six
no,
RBIs.
No, my goal was to make sure everybody got hydrated and we stretched as a team, which we did.
We started stretching.
I was neither hydrated nor
looking,
stretched,
looking
and
decent,
we won.
Yeah.
And I hit a home run.
So, okay, well, that's fine. But basketball. Okay, so I played soccer, basketball, and baseball in high school. The reason I don't play basketball anymore is because I get hurt every time I play. You know, so
that's because you're
gonna,
trying too
you're
hard.
You're not going to see me give it. Well, but I don't know how to. That I don't know how to play without trying hard. Softball, I can, you know, get it around or whatever. Hey,
don't move your feet. Don't
no
run
thanks.
Back on defense.
Watch
and
Trev.
Shoot every time
if
you watch it.
If I ever want
to not
wanna,
try
look,
hard.
If you need a clinic on how not to try, I'm your guy.
He does a summer camp.
Yeah. Hey, look, kids, here's what you do.
Right.
Never, ever try.
Now we know what your station would be at the ESPN 710 summer camp. That's what it would be. You'd be the laziness bunk is what it would be.
I picture like the Lucy just, 5 psychology 5
all you
sense.
Have is hammocks.
At 11 a.m., at 11 a.m., the blinds are still closed.
Yeah.
Hey,
it's the nap bunk.
Lesson number one, you shouldn't have shown up for this. you tried way too hard.
It's the nap bunk.
Way
so
too hard, long
good.
List.
So,
John,
good.
would you take a basketball game very serious? We do a celebrity game, you would?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
what is that? But give me the definition.
What is serious
of,
mean?
Yes,
I want to win.
That's
like,
right.
I want to win.
But what are you willing to do to win?
Dive on the floor.
Oh, okay, that's the answer I'm talking about. That's what we had to get
to. I would
be
more serious.
Is Larry Bird on a loose ball just
flying over the side? If we play, I mean, I would be more serious if we played 3-on-3 only because you kind of have to be. You can't hide yourself in a 3-on-3 situation. You kind of always got to move. So that's the only scenario in which I would
travel will find a way.
5-on-5, though, it's a little different. You got more. You got more places you can hide.
Did you not play when we did that game a few years ago?
I did. And I'm trying to. The thing I remember about that game was we had too many people.
Yeah, so we did it twice. I did it the first year, but not the second year.
I was not there the year Mason faceplanted.
Okay, so we were in opposite years. Yeah. That's why. Okay.
The year I did it, Slee, I think you were there. We had like 25 people on our team.
Literally.
So you get into the game and it's like.
Yeah. Marcellus and I were doing like hockey shifts.
Oh, really?
We wouldn't even wait for the whistle to blow. He'd just run off to the side. I'd run in. A couple
funny.
Of trips up and down the court, and Marcellus would slide right back in there. That's how we were doing it.
Yeah,
we'd
have some people take it. Yeah, we'd have people take it too.
Would you be at the top of the list as far as. Competitive seriousness goes.
Who would take it more serious? You or Sedano?
In a basketball game?
Sedano, I think it's got to be.
No. I think Sedano would think this is stupid and kind of mail it in, don't you?
But Morales thought he would take it very serious. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if he would.
I think we're also misidentified. We should have a three-point contest. Is what we should
I like that.
Like, forget a game. I mean, like, that's not – I mean, put an 8-foot rim out there and let people try to bang on it. You know what I'm saying? Like, 5-on-3
You
talk about a recipe.
3-on-3 basketball.
Somebody's leaving on a stretcher.
That would be fun.
Somebody's leaving
on a stretcher. The same potential fail rate as a 3-on-3 or full-court game. You know what I mean? If we're thinking about it honestly.
But here's the thing. In a – hybrid slam dunk, we go on low in the rim to 8 feet or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Even a small attempt at leaping could end drastically. Where if we're just running up and down, I'm not going to jump.
Dr. Clapper told me something once. He said, I played pickup every week until I was about 45. And
this is Clapper telling you this.
No, I did.
Okay.
This is me talking to Clapper. And exactly. And I said, I told Dr. Clapper, I go, I'm thinking about winding down because I've noticed that I used to play 3 times a week, and now if I play once a week, I'm sore for like 3 days. Mm-hmm. And I go, I think I'm going to start taking up golf. And he looked at me and he said, John, people your age playing basketball built my house in Italy.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And he said, if you keep playing, there is no doubt that it'll be a knee, it'll be an ankle, it'll be a lower extremity, and you're going to have to come see me, and I'm happy to take care of you, but it ain't cheap. And I thought, wow, I'm going to kind of – so I haven't played pickup in a while. I mean, I would get it back. I like your idea of a three-point
I mean, the
contest.
Difference between a game and a skills competition is negligible.
Or even horse.
But from a watching standpoint, if you're a listener, you show up, that's way better because it's more – it's just more condensed in terms of the attention.
We can play
–
A game is better?
No. A skills competition is better because you can say, okay, I watched Alan Sliwa shoot 5 for 30 from three, as opposed to
seven.
He had
seven
a plus minus. He had a plus minus of
seven
six, and he grabbed 3 rebounds and had 2 assists.
Mason,
you know,
and
saying?
I were doing the show live at the Laker practice facility 1 year, and Mason said, "How many free throws do you think I could make?" And I said, "You." I said, "I'd put the over under at 4
out of 20. So 2
and
20%.
He goes, "I could make 10." I go, "There's no way you can make 10.
Not a chance."
And he went down 2 of 20.
Right, and that's why a skills competition is funnier because you have measurables. You can post them and say, "Here's what you shot, here's what you shot, and here's who won that horse
but
competition."
But we just played an entire softball game.
Right.
And that was – nobody got injured. How, we still don't know.
You're welcome.
It was incredibly entertaining.
You're welcome.
For what?
I think a basketball game falls right into that line.
How are you responsible for no injuries?
Keeping morale high and keeping mindset straight on injuries. That's what I bring to the table. No, you saw Clapper out there investigating
the mental
Kaplan
game
beforehand. Yeah, didn't Cap get hurt in training?
Yeah, almost got suspended, violating team rules. It was a close call.
That was game day. It was a team rule that you shall not warm up.
Team rule is you shall not be out walking around eating pizza after you took a ball off the shin. That was the team rule. How many? If you're 20 free throws, how many are you knocking down?
On that court, on the Laker court, I'd be mad if
I got a number.
I'd be mad if I didn't get 12.
12 out of 20.
Oh, yeah. I think you'd get more.
Okay,
than
so
that.
60%.
I'd be mad if I didn't do it. On like a hoop in a park, I would get 15. I think.
You'd be better outside.
I mean, like, just because the Laker hoop is a legit 10 feet.
Yeah.
The free throw line.
And the rim is a little tight, too, right?
John, you want that local gym where the rim is just tilting down a little.
Sports Club LA or like Alan.
Tilting down a little. The Athletic Club.
Yeah, athletic Club.
You run into one of those double rims, you're making one out of 20.
It's over.
Outdoor on a double rim?
Impossible.
I think I could get 50% from the free throw line.
That feels like the number.
It's a muscle memory thing. And like that was also, once I stopped playing basketball every week, like I started to get terrible. I couldn't shoot the ball. You know what I mean?
It comes back. Basketball comes back.
Yeah, you would figure it out.
I didn't shoot that much anyway when I played.
How many are you making?
He's making more than 12 at the Laker facility. I'll hit 14. 70%.
Yeah.
7 of 10 is not, that's not a crazy number.
It's not a crazy number, but it's not a low number either.
10 versus 20 is also different because, you know.
You get a rhythm.
You might get tired. You know what I mean? Yeah. People think that, like, you know, this is the thing about shooting three-point shots. You get tired on that middle rack.
Next time I'm in a gym, I'll shoot 20 and report back to you. I wonder how I would do.
Okay.
I'd make half.
We have some prelims.
I think I'd make half.
10's good.
Yeah. I think I'd make half.
10's respectfully mediocre.
Yeah, and that's kind of my entire goal in life, is respectfully mediocre.
Yeah.
Right? That, hey, is he good?
Not really, but does he suck? On your grade.
He's not terrible. But...
Here lies Travis Rogers. Respectfully mediocre.
That's funny.
Okay, Susan, write it down. Blast it on my urn.
I was going to say.
6.5.
Hashtag.
6.5 at 10.
Hashtag Travis. That's all you got to do. Anyway.
Yeah.
I'm really.
My high school coach used to have a great line when people asked him how our team was this year. We had a really good team. We made like the state finals every year, and my coach would say, "We're optimistically pessimistic."
Nice.
And the reporter would go, "What's that mean?" He goes, We think we're good, but I'm withholding judgment that we don't screw it up.
So this is what your coach is saying, optimistically pessimistic, is the conversation I was having with Bergman last night. We were texting back and forth during the Dodger game. That he doesn't understand that this is coach speak 101.
Right.
You can think we have a chance to be good, but coaches never say we are good because they always keep that foot on the brake.
Dave Roberts
for motivation.
Said it this year. Yeah.
Got to win it all.
Well, he said, no, he said we're supposed to.
Yeah.
Right?
But he said, I think we're going to win the World Series. And when we had him on in the beginning of the year, I said, you kind of called your shot here. You said, you think you're going to win the World Series? He said, I do.
There's no excuses.
Yeah, he goes, I do think we're going to win it. And he goes, I thought I would just put it out there.
You guys think Soto moves? We got a week or week, what is it, week, 7 or 8 days?
Clinton, I was watching that game last night,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't think the Nats are going to do it.
I don't think I don't think they can. They can't afford to. You can't sell
they don't have to right now either.
Team.
They've got time. That's the
you
thing.
Can't
time.
Sell a stars-free baseball team to anybody. Who cares? You just can't. I think that's ultimately what it comes down to. It's not even an on-field decision. It's an off-field factor.
Do you think they want it off their books, though, before ownership changes? Because that's an element of it.
I think that they do, but
the number one thing they can't do, Clinton, is they can't let him walk away for nothing. But they don't. That's not now.
But that's not at the end of the year. That's two years from now.
And it won't even be them who's doing the letting them walk away.
Right.
I do think... that you can I don't think you can sell that team without Juan Soto on it. I just think it's a different valuation because the person is going to want either.
But Rendon
player,
is gone, Harper is gone,
exactly.
Turner is gone. They've gone through some
that's Scherzer's, a separate matter.
Scherzer's gone.
But if I'm a buyer, I'll say, oh no, I want Soto. If anybody's gonna deal him, it's gonna be me. It's not gonna be you, so that I've then got to deal with the picks that you
But if somebody
acquire.
Comes in heavy. Right, and we'll just use the Dodgers as the example right now. But if you said, I'll give you Urias and I will give you my five best guys, you're probably not doing much better than that.
It's not worth it, though. It's a different thing in terms of how Soto matters to the franchise. Urias means nothing to the people that are there.
I understand
you know
but now all of a sudden, what if you don't get something that good the year after that or the year after that?
And well,
now
then,
you're
like,
getting
to your
player.
To your point, though, that's somebody else's problem at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I don't think this current iteration – feels the need to
but
jump
you said they got
anybody.
The player. They're in last place. This is their third year in a row. They're going to finish in last place.
I get that, but he's still the biggest star on the team.
And there's
this goes back to what you and I were screaming at each other about. Is the attendance great? I don't think it is.
Okay, I'll give you an example. The Angels have been the worst team in baseball for months.
Mm-hmm.
Their attendance is okay.
Always is though. The Angels are a bad example.
Yeah,
the Angels' attendance is always good.
I went to a Nats Marlins game there this year. There were plenty of people. There were as many people that were not there as were there as there have been.
You
all
think
season.
It would be drastically different if he wasn't there?
I actually do. I think because I don't think that.
Why would you go, Trav?
Yeah, it's not an attendance.
I love baseball.
I don't think it's an attendance thing necessarily.
Like
just
the
either.
The your point. Your
even
point
if I
is,
gave you Angel tickets tonight, you would say,
okay, I get to go see Ohtani, I get to go see Trout. Mm-hmm. They stink, but I get to see those guys, and that's kind of cool.
Let me ask you this. Do you think that people think the Angels are trying to win the World Series?
Of course not.
No, they don't care. They're showing up to the ballpark. Yeah. I think the Nats are still in that phase as a franchise where fans at least want to try to believe they're going to try to win. Dealing Soto indicates you are operating directly as a future franchise.
Mason, no, it could actually mean you're trying to win, right? By dealing him, because you know you can't win right now.
And he's
normally
under this circumstance.
Can't walk out. In a trade, yeah, in a trade, Slee, the team that gets the best player normally wins the trade.
Pretty much. Look at who the Dodgers. I did this really quickly this morning. This is kind of off the. These are the guys the Dodgers have gotten at the trade deadline over the last handful of years: mm-hmm. Scherzer, Turner, Darvish, Rich Hill, Manny Machado. Those and the Dodgers are good. The guys that have gone out, it's Frankie Montas, Yordan Alvarez, yeah. Jeter Downs, Josiah Gray, Kyber Ruiz. Yes, the guy that gets the star usually.
Well, and you could even go back to when they traded for Adrian Gonzalez.
Sure.
You know, and in the middle
Well, Manny
of the
Ramirez
season.
And Josh Beckett and all, they go star hunting every single time. But they've also been good. It's not just that they have great players. They're also really, really good. Mason in Ireland coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yes, indeed, a live Imaging Tuesday with Mason and Ireland. You know producer Jorge had to start here.
Yes.
Julian, what should I wear today to the show? How is the consigliere,
the
Julian?
The consigliere is back home. He's doing some R&R. Where
look
the town,
at the screen.
In the town Jorge, that we're
guys,
from.
Look at the screen. Oh, he's got the scene from Ghost Up.
Oh, look at that. Oh, the clay is spinning.
He's doing well. That is spectacular.
Is he excited about Camp 710 and/or the basketball game? Probably both.
I think the basketball game. Julian played college basketball.
Oh, he did.
So, yeah.
Did you know that, Jorge?
He played D1 ball.
I did not.
Where?
He played at Howard University.
Okay.
Yeah. So
did he show you how to make a free throw?
Every day we're getting
left-handed. If you want to know the scouting report,
more and more nuggets. By the way, the reason why I say Sedano's so into the basketball game, that was his idea. He was all fired up about you and him doing this. You guys being the team captains and everything.
Well, I'm down with it. I'm good.
But you're going to play.
Sure.
But you think we should do skills competition.
I think we should do both because I think either would
work.
I think the best part about a game, John, would be picking teams.
Yes.
That would be the best part, a la NBA All-Star.
We could play a quick game.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe game to 10 and then play a game of horse and then have a skills contest.
I love it.
Right.
And
I love
go
it.
There.
Do I it love all. It. But you are out on Camp 710, which we're going to get to.
Yeah.
But right now, we have to get to the biggest show on the radio. Mason in Ireland is on for your Tuesday right now.
All right, Dave, Chris, hang around for one second.
You got it,
because I've got something I want to play with you here, because when I saw this, I was debating whether or not to put it in the show, and then I remembered it was Live Imaging Tuesday, lit, and I said, my friend Chris Morales will appreciate this more than most.
Okay,
now, do you guys remember, Clinton, you might be a little young, Clinton, you might be a little young for this. In the 80s, maybe late 70s, early 80s, the St. Louis Cardinals had a reliever nicknamed the Mad Hungarian.
Yeah.
Al Raboski.
Okay.
Okay. He's now an analyst for the Cardinals on TV. And one of the Cardinals was, you know, they make rookies dress up.
Yeah.
One of them was dressed up like Champ Kind. Remember Champ Kind in the movie Anchorman?
Okay,
David
yes.
Koechner?
Yes.
And he was wearing a cowboy hat,
yes.
And you whammy!
Yeah.
You know, blah, blah. But Raboski was trying to think of Ron Burgundy and Anchorman, but this is what came out.
But a show. I feel like he dresses up with another member of the Anchorman movie every single time.
Well, that's what I was thinking, you know.
Right.
You know, wasn't it the, who was it that wore the cowboy hat with Ron Jeremy?
Well,
look at the girl knows.
Well, I think that Michaelis has interesting outfits throughout the season, right? He's always showing up wearing something fun.
Ron Burgundy.
That's right.
Oh, that's
funny.
Jorge, we need just the small cut of that forever.
You know, Ron Burgundy, Ron Jeremy, there's
Yeah, there's Champ Kine.
There he is.
And so, Chris, I thought you would appreciate
that's
fine.
That's awesome.
All right, we'll see you in a while. There is the great Chris Morales. Live Imaging Tuesday is today. Clinton Yates, nice enough to fill in for Mace again today. How are you, CY?
I'm doing good. Camp 710 gaining steam.
It is, I have to admit.
Even though Emily's back there.
Even though it's not my thing, I have to admit, you guys have built a wave of momentum with this sucker.
I appreciate it. I want to give a shout out to the guy who made Casper Villa, who made this amazing, I don't even know what to call this, movie poster that simulates
Wet Hot American Summer.
Wet Hot American Summer, the greatest camp movie of all time. By the way, today is my game. You can guess what the theme is.
I bet. Was it another camp theme like mine?
Correct.
Okay, good. And so more on that coming up. The Dodgers finally lost last night. They had won 8 games in a row, 19 out of 21. They lost to Clinton's Washington Nationals, who aren't very good this year.
No.
They're in last place. Tony Gonsolin finally took an L. He was 11-0. That's why he made the All-Star team this year. He was 11-0 before last night, but he got beat. Big triple by Juan Soto, and we were talking about it with Travis and Slee. After watching the game last night, it just hit me, Clinton, watching Soto at bat.
Mm-hmm.
They can't trade him.
No.
I don't think they're
right.
You were making this argument yesterday, and I've completely come around to your side.
By the way, quick stat here. Last night was the first time in the modern era that an 11-0 or better pitcher lost to a team that came into the day with the worst record in the majors, which is an interesting stat separately. Soto is a star. He's not just an excellent player from a stat standpoint. He's not just the kind of guy who's durable and young. He is likable, too. And I think that wherever he goes, he kind of changes – I don't know. He kind of changes the market for, I think, what the popularity for that team is. Never mind for himself overall. That's why the Padres thing is such an interesting, you know, kind of idea, because it'd be him and Tatis all of a sudden and Machado. All of a sudden, you've got like the three of the most fun guys in the league right there.
And right.
So,
and they would all hit in order. They'd hit 3, 4, 5.
Right.
And they all have at least some type of Hispanic blood in them.
Yeah.
And I think it would be.
It would be fun.
Really. And now, the other team that everybody connects him to is the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, Andrew Friedman, who picks his words very carefully, was asked, are you in on trading for Juan Soto? Here's what he said.
Yeah, obviously it's hard for me to talk about specific players on other teams, but you know, I will echo what I've said in the past, that star players don't come available very often. And so when they are, we owe it to our fans to be by the backboard and to see those things out. And you know, we've been fortunate to line up on some, but obviously there's a lot that goes into that in terms of future payroll outlook, runway of kind of talent coming from the minor leagues, the control of our major league players and what we're anticipating in terms of holes as we look out. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But the one thing I know is whenever star-level players become available, we'll always have the conversation and dig in and try to make something make sense.
First of all, by the way, so good at his job. I mean, he's just the guy just gets it. And I think that was code, Clinton, for if the Padres make a big offer, we'll make a competitive offer too and see if we can block it.
And let me ask you something, because you know his history better than I. Why wouldn't he just say that?
Because you're not – because of tampering rules.
I mean, beyond
You're not allowed to address a specific player. If you listen – I'm just going to play the first 5 seconds of this, Jorge. Then you can take it out. Listen to the very beginning.
Yeah, obviously it's hard for me to talk about specific players on other teams, but
– There it is, right there.
Right, but we all know what he's talking about.
Right, I mean, but he had to talk around it by rule.
I mean, I guess I just feel like the Padres aren't a specific player. The Padres are another team.
Right.
You can address the Padres matter, and I think you can make the point about what's happening. I'm not saying he did anything wrong. I'm just wondering why in this situation you've already got an embarrassment of riches in your lineup. It's not like you're going to be losing anybody that anybody necessarily cares about at the level. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying whatever way of talking around it you've got, we're going after the guy you think we're talking about, because if the Padres get him, we got a problem. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, well, I think you and I can say that. I think Andrew needs to be a little more measured and careful. Magic Johnson got fined $500,000 for being complimentary about Giannis.
Right.
Literally, and it's when he was working as the president of the Lakers. He goes, I just think Giannis is an unbelievable player. I think he might be the best player in the league, and I think he's going to lead Milwaukee to a title one day.
Yeah.
$500,000.
Well, the NBA is a little different on that, but I feel like for MLB, like, These are the guys. I mean, this is the biggest story in Major League Baseball right now, and it doesn't involve any player that's on a team, or rather playing on the team, that anybody's talking about. And that, you know, it's fascinating to me that transactional talk has actually taken over the league at this point with the Dodgers team that's already this good.
Well, and they moved the trade deadline up. It's next Tuesday, yeah. August 2nd. So if Juan Soto is going to be traded, it has to be within the next seven days. And I am now staunchly in your camp.
I think
your explanation yesterday just kind of went off like a light bulb for me last night. What are the Nationals once they trade him?
I know a lot of people, lifelong baseball fans from DC, who are like, if they trade that guy, I'm out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because they're just, you know, they're just not indicating.
It would be the Padres trading Tony Gwynn.
Basically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's effectively that. It's a little different because he's, you know, he's not from San Diego, but I mean, or whatever, you know, as Tony Gwynn was. But it's just one of those things where the next team he goes to, I also think the crazy possibility is that he could get better on a better team as a result of who he's got around him in the lineup. Really bright future for that kid.
All right. Coming up. Lie of the day. I'll give you the details on that in a minute. But we are doing lie of the day today. It is Clinton's lie.
Okay, so I'm already doing game and tickets. Question. I'm doing lie as well. That's fine. I'm just making sure.
I mean, I'm happy to take any of the three. I can't take the game because I didn't
write I've
one.
Done the game. Why don't you take the lie again?
I'll do the lie and
because,
then you do
I've got question and game.
Done.
Okay.
All right. I'll do the lie again today. So it'll be my lie. And Emily's sitting in for Greg for the first hour today. She just handed me the details on this. It's the Soccer Champions Tour, featuring five clubs from around the world, including Real Madrid, Juventus, Barcelona, Chivas Guadalajara, and Club America. We are giving you a chance to see Real Madrid versus Juventus this Saturday, the 30th, the Rose Bowl. Listen for the entire show. At some point, I'm going to tell a lie. I'll do a better job than I did yesterday. Very first person got it yesterday. So I got to do a better job on lying. But it's for a pair of tickets for Real Madrid versus Juventus this Saturday. If you don't win the tickets, you can visit soccerchampionstour.com. Soccerchampionstour.com to buy tickets today. Coming up next, I think Shohei Ohtani might be the best baseball player I have ever seen. Does that mean he should win the MVP again this year, just like he did last year? Not necessarily. I'll explain why coming up. Clinton Yates in for Mace. I'm John Ireland, ESPN LA.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Live Imaging Tuesday on Mason Ireland. You know that means we're going to throw down some Yacht Rock for Ireland.
And
bestie.
I believe this is featured in the Boogie Nights soundtrack.
See how I did that?
Yeah, that was good.
We were talking about
Boogie Nights earlier.
A few minutes ago.
That was good.
Clinton, do you like Yacht Rock?
I love Yacht Rock. I went through a brunch party with all my friends back in D.C. that was just Yacht Rock.
Oh,
we got
that.
To a bar for
you know,
hours.
Apple Music has their own Yacht Rock Essentials.
Yeah. Is it good?
And they update it. So it's not always the same. If you subscribe to Apple Music, just sign up for it, and then whenever you play it, it'll be different. I know you know this, so I'm going to take a shot. Andrew Gold?
Yes.
Okay. On
1976,
Lonely Boy.
I believe.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, you embody the Yacht Rock lifestyle in a way that I don't think people who have not met you in person understand.
We used to play, Clinton, before you were kind of in our world, we used to play Name That Tune fairly regularly. And I would just smoke everybody.
Right.
Because, you know, I take Game of Game super seriously and blah, blah, blah. Cannot touch Chris Morales.
Okay.
I was lucky to maybe, if we did five songs, I'd be happy if I got one.
Name That Tune. A great game we could play at Camp 710.
Oh, there
you
go. Yeah. Mason and Ireland continues right now.
All right. Okay, so Clinton, I mentioned that Shohei Ohtani is the best player
Shouts
out to you, Tommy. Thank you. Is the best player I have ever seen in person.
Uh-huh.
He throws the ball 100 miles an hour. He hits with massive power. He might also be the fastest guy. Have you ever seen him play in person? You ever seen him run?
Many times.
Okay.
He's the best base runner on the team by a mile and perhaps in his division, and he's really good.
So I think by default, if he's pitching well and hitting well, and he's doing both this year, he's probably the MVP.
Yeah.
But here's the problem this year. It's Aaron Judge. He's hitting massive home runs in games that matter. Shohei is playing great.
Right.
And we should take, Emily, I want to take some calls on this. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776.
All right.
Because, I'll start with you. Because Ohtani is a dual threat, and he's the only one out there, and he can help you win games either way, does he automatically get a heads up on MVP? Or because his team stinks and they're not winning, even though he's playing great, is he out?
I actually don't think. I think it's a combination of them, because it's not just because he does both things. It's because he's great at both. That's the difference.
Right.
He could easily be a crappy pitcher and an everyday second baseman who just moves runners over. That's not the case at all. I've said this before on television. I almost think that whatever you gave an award to Ohtani for is almost a separate award than MVP, to be quite honest, because of what he's doing. We've never seen this. The only name we bring up is Babe Ruth. I'm not saying there should be an Ohtani award, but to me, he, by definition, is a more valuable player because of how much he plays on both sides of the ball. Now, listen, Aaron Judge is having a great year. Don't get me wrong, but he's not Shohei Ohtani. He's just not. You know, I don't think.
Now, what about the idea that the MVP normally goes to a guy on a winning team?
That's fine. Those guys ain't Shohei Ohtani. I'm willing to make an exception for what we saw from this particular player in his prime. Again, he's not just getting by on the mound and in the field. He is excelling at both. That, to me, has to be rewarded. We can't just say, oh, he's not on a winning team, therefore it doesn't count. The eyeball test, to me, is enough.
This is a hard one for me.
Yeah, it's
because
not easy.
There is there's just nobody like Ohtani.
Right.
He's the best player I've ever seen in person. I mean, I'm watching 40 years of baseball. I've never seen a guy who can do that much. But here's the age-old question that comes to voters all the time. If it doesn't make a difference in the standings, the Angels are in last place.
Sure.
For the last 2 months, they have the worst record in the major leagues.
Right.
If that's it, and Judge is hitting big homer after big homer. By the way, I want to play something cool for you. Okay, you know how there's hecklers at games. We were talking yesterday about hecklers. Listen carefully to this game over the weekend. Judge was at the plate, and some kid yells in the background. You got to listen very closely in the beginning. You hear this. You're going to strike out. And then listen to what happens next.
Above replacement.
You're going to strike out.
That's a great broadcast call right there, as much as anything.
Aaron Judge.
Here's the thing,
right, Judge over his last four games, and the Yankees are hot, is batting .529 with four homers and 11 RBIs. He has 37 home runs, and the Yankees are the best team in the majors, 66-31. Doesn't that at least put a dent in the Ohtani argument?
Not to me. The reason why Judge is so prevalent in this discussion to me, frankly, John, is because he plays for the Yankees. If Aaron Judge was doing this for the Royals, or if Aaron Judge was doing this for the Marlins, even if they were winning like that, it wouldn't be amplified the same way. The fact that he's doing this as a Yankee, I think, makes it really difficult for people even to fathom the notion that the best player on the Yankees isn't automatically the most deserving player for the MVP. In this particular case, I don't think he is. I just plain don't. Do I think it's a distant second? No. In this case, I would simply say, you know what? Shohei gets my vote. I'm never going to see anybody do this again.
Here's Mitch, who listens to us in New Jersey. Mitch, you're on ESPN LA. What do you think? If you had an MVP vote and you had to vote now, Otani or Judge?
How's it going, guys? Thanks for the call.
Sure.
I say Judge. I believe he's got more home runs, more RBIs. He's up to, I don't know why they bet he's the best player on your team, batting first or second.
But the fact that Otani pitches and hits, Mitch, that doesn't trump all that stuff?
I don't know. A month ago, he was there at Triple Crown. I will give it to Judge.
Okay.
And I will hope next year he's a Dodger.
Yeah, maybe. he's in a contract dispute.
Yeah. I mean, I actually think that's as interesting a discussion as anything having to do with the MVP race to me, which is whether or not he stays in New York and whether or not that hinges upon whether or not they win the World Series. That's a very interesting discussion.
And the thing, I know you're going to New York soon.
Yeah.
The team I would watch for is that guy Steve Cohen has a blank check and he plays in New York and he's not messing around. And if the Yankees don't step up, don't you think the Mets just step right in?
I think the Mets are in play for sure. They finally got the leadership at the top. They feel like a real baseball team. 2 years ago, they got guys throwing chairs around in the clubhouse and all that goofiness. Buck Showalter comes in there, sort of cleans things up. They've got a pretty good season going, even though they've had injury problems. I don't hate that option for Judge, not at all.
All right, here's Langston in Upland. Hey, Langston, are you leaning Otani or Judge for MVP?
I'm leaning with Shohei Ohtani. I mean, for this guy to be able to do what he does on both sides of the ball, like be able to pitch the way he does and hit the way he does and the impact that he's having on the game, making the game more popular, bringing fans out and stuff, even to a losing team, he's still having a major, major turnout to wherever he plays at. When he pitches, when he hits, people want to come fill in the stands. I definitely think Shohei should be our MVP this year.
All right, thanks for the call. Clinton, there is the argument that, and this happens all the time in MVP races.
Uh-huh.
How valuable are you if your team is not just bad, but the worst team in the major leagues?
It's pretty simple. Half of their wins, when the few times that they do win, are games that he pitches.
Right.
That's how you know.
Yeah, they went like a month and a half, and they only won the games
that he
pitches.
It's not happenstance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can rate it directly to the guy. That's why I think this is different. Here's the other thing. If Shohei Ohtani plays 10 years in the bigs, and let's say he does this pitching, hitting thing for five of them, and stops it for the next five, and that's just what his run in MLB is. And we look back and we say, how were we not giving the MVP to Shohei every year he was doing this, if he was any good? It's going to feel weird. You know what I mean? If the only sort of thing we have to say from Shohei's time as doing what he's doing right now in Major League Baseball is one MVP trophy because he's not winning anything else in the postseason, I think that's going to feel like it doesn't make sense in the future down the line if he ends up still having the great career that he's on track to have.
Here is George in Corona. Hey, George, you're on ESPN LA. Hi.
Hey, fellas. Big fan. Been an Angel fan my whole life, literally half my life since I was 16. I think what's going to happen to Ohtani is the same thing that happened in Trout. As an example, in 2012, when Miguel Cabrera hit the Triple Crown and Trout's WAR average was historic, where they just didn't give it to him because those games that he was playing didn't matter. And I hope that that's not the case for Ohtani, but I have a feeling that that's what's going to happen. Yeah,
I think Clinton, and thank you for the phone call. I think that's a really good point, Clinton. I think everything you said is factually accurate. Nobody's ever done this. You got to go back to Babe Ruth. He's you hear once in a generation. He might be a once in a lifetime athlete.
Correct.
But Michael Jordan was the best player in the NBA his whole career. He didn't win the MVP every year.
No,
you could have given it to him every year. He was that good. But voters tend to vote for the flavor of the month, for the team that's winning. And the fact that Judge plays in New York for the Yankees, if you made me bet the John Ireland fortune on who's going to win MVP, I would say Judge.
Sure.
If you gave me a vote,
I would probably vote for Ohtani.
Yeah, I mean, those guys don't pitch. I mean, that, what do you want me to say?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At some point, there becomes the discussion of, well, if you don't value two-way players the same way, or if you don't even know how to value a two-way player because, hello, they don't exist. I understand that. But the bottom line is that any player who's that responsible for that percentage of his team's wins, obviously the value is there. That's not even in question. You could also argue, frankly, that some of these Yankees games for the next 6 weeks are going to be meaningless because they have such a big lead in the AL East.
Okay, coming up next, Wheel of Questions. It's Clinton's wheel today. We'll spin that next. Mason in Ireland, ESPN LA.
All right, we all know that Camp 710 has been on the brain, so today's Wheel of Questions question is this. I was doing some research today for Game of Games, and I noticed in some of my background checks there are a lot of boats around the lakes. And the question is very simple. What would you name your boat?
Oh, good.
If you had one, John Ireland.
I think
it's a good question.
Yeah.
You're probably the closest one here likely to enough to have a boat, too.
My parents had a Lido 14, you know, a small sailboat, yeah. Like a 14. I think it was a pain in the ass. To keep it. If I had a big boat, I think I would christen my boat the Flying Wasp. You know why?
No.
Anybody know?
No.
Morales knows. It's matter of fact, this week I think is the 30-year anniversary of Caddyshack coming out.
Oh, right. And that's like yesterday.
It's when Ted Knight christens the boat, he gives it to his wife, and she takes the bottle. She's, I christen thee the Flying Wasp, and she hits the bottle, and it breaks the boat.
That's a good call.
So
that's
I think I would probably do that. Jorge, what are you naming your boat?
I'm going to go with something I heard last Friday at the softball game. Well, not last Friday, but yeah. Hip, hip, Jorge.
Hip, hip, Jorge. That's a good name for a boat.
I'm going to go with hip, hip, Jorge.
Emily, what's the name of your boat?
So I was a big fan of the show Lost. And so right. One of the catchphrases of the person I liked a lot was, see you in another life, brother. I would name it C with the S-E-A and another life, brother as my boat.
Oh, that's good. That's kind of creative. Play on words. What are you going with?
I always use your boy as my tag, and I always say yeehaw a lot. So your boy yeehaw would be the name of my boat. It'd have to be a pretty, like, loud boat, though.
It has to have a sea pun, though, I feel like.
Maybe, but does it, though? It's kind of funny to have a non, like a cowboy, no?
Yeah, I still like it. It's a good one for you.
It'd be funny to hear a sailor yelling yeehaw, because I'm not a sailor, but, you know, we'll see how it goes. Morales, what would your boat be named?
The Keyshawn, he says.
He didn't even move.
Ride that
was fantastic. But quickly, speaking of camp stuff, did you, again, what have you thought, Emily, about how this has developed, the idea for Camp 7?
So I am overjoyed. I think that a camp day would be the most fun thing ever. I know that me and you can be the head camp counselors, sure, which is awesome. But I am a little upset that we're not going to do overnight. Amanda said on our show, Travis and Sliwa, that we're not going to do an overnight. I wanted us to all have cabin bunk beds together and have little like story time before we
right.
go to bed.
But wait a minute. Bonding. Here's the thing. It doesn't have to be state. You can do that. You can put that trip
right.
together. But it just wouldn't be like mandatory from the station. Like you could just put together a camping trip.
This was my plan from the beginning. It was going to be if you want to stay and camp.
Yeah.
At camp, you can do.
I think you guys will have some takers.
I think we'll get some takers on that. And so the question becomes then, what is the field day setup? Are we all getting in a bus and going? Are people going to meet us there?
I want
is
a
it Friday
school
or
bus.
Saturday?
A school bus. Are you ready for the summer?
The only reason I say no to a school bus is because school buses don't have bathrooms. And
no AC.
That's a big problem. You know what I mean? When you got a group of grown adults. So I still need some details to be sorted out, but I still think the overnight, one night only, as we said yesterday, is an option.
I also think that we need to have...
That'd be a good name for a boat, by
That's
the way.
That's a good...
Right. One night only.
That is a good boat name.
Yeah. I think that we need to have two separate teams, too. Like, colors. Big, like, we had to name these teams. Kind of similar to what we've done before.
Exactly.
They need to have, like, very big team pride. We need to make a sign, run through that sign, things
exactly.
like that.
No,
all these things
need to be there. This is all on the blueprint, Ireland, for what's going to come to Camp 710. God, you're going to love Game of Games.
It's going
to
be so fun.
I'm sensing a camp theme for Game of Games today. Okay, I wanted to... Let me see, do we have time to do this right now? I think we do. Okay, so Charles Barkley
the Chuckster,
has given the LIV Tour until Thursday to make him an offer, or he says he's out. What we're talking about here, he was on Dan Patrick's show yesterday. I watched it on Peacock.
Okay.
And what Barkley said was, from TNT and all his endorsements, he makes about $30 million a year. He says if the LIV Tour gives him $60 million, he'll take it. To this point, they have not given him that. Clinton, if, and because they could, they certainly have unlimited funds. If the LIV Tour offers him $60 million and he takes it, would he be making a mistake in your opinion?
I think he's already made a huge mistake. I don't think that this is even about the money at this point as far as Barkley and what his reputation are regarding things that are actually pretty important. We can get into a whole discussion about how nation states work and how superpowers work and how money transfers through stuff and, you know, sports washing and all that. But the bottom line is that Barkley doesn't need this. And if Barkley doesn't want this, then why would he be entertaining it at all? I actually think this is quite unbecoming. We were talking about this on Around the Horn earlier this or last week, which is even discussing this publicly, I think is a very weird kind of confirmation that the LIV tour is very real. You know what I mean? Because like Barkley has no reason to be involved with this. Not a one. It's not like the LIV Tour is blowing up all over the place. They're just paying randos who are willing to take the money. I don't even know how to watch it. I'm losing Barkley to a golf tournament, or rather a golf series funded by a nation that's sketchy. That just stinks for everybody. You know what I mean? And like, I don't like this. I think this is a foolhardy situation for Charles. I think he's a little bit in over his head trying to discuss the actual politics of the matter, and I don't think it would be smart. I really actually think it would be a legacy-changing thing if Charles Barkley decided to leave the NBA on TNT for some golf tournament funded by Saudis. I really would.
I disagree with you.
Okay.
And I will tell you why. I don't think that the PGA Tour is going to be able to keep the LIV Tour out.
Okay.
I think that if you study competition and antitrust lawsuits in this country, you have a right to create something and to have it compete. And I think that by telling someone they can't compete on the PGA Tour, now I know the PGA Tour is private, but by telling someone you can't compete solely because you're in bed with somebody else,
mm-hmm.
is going to be an antitrust violation. So if that happens, okay, if I'm right,
yeah.
and I know I mean, they could lose in court. I think they're going to win. If that happens and the PGA Tour and all the majors need to back down, then these guys who have jumped to the LIV Tour get to keep all the money and they get to play. So all of a sudden then what you're referencing is a political discussion is can you live with yourself doing business with the Saudis?
Or can the fans still show up and support you having known you did that? That's another
right.
part of this, John.
But here's your Mason is in your camp, by the way.
I just sort of feel like, I don't know, I just feel like even flirting with this group is an indication of a certain level of scruples that I just don't think a lot of people align with. And I don't think it's that serious. Don't get me wrong. Mm. I'm not implying that people are going to be protesting everywhere Charles Barkley goes. I just think there's a lot of us that looked at Chuck for a long time and was like, hey, man, you were a great basketball player that's made a heck of a career out of being kind of a lovable goofball. We don't need this from you, Chuck. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a part of what anybody wants from Charles Barkley. And it's a little weird to me. It really is.
I'm not trying to, like, say trap you or anything.
No,
I just
no, no.
I'm genuinely curious.
Yeah.
Why is doing business with Saudi Arabia any more egregious than doing business with China?
I don't think that it's any more egregious, but I do think that what the NBA's mission in China is legitimately to grow the game.
That's what Greg Norman and the golfers are all saying.
I don't believe that. I just don't. I mean, I'm not believing that based on the way that they're doing anything. I mean, I don't even know how to watch it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it'd be one thing if they had a TV partner. It'd be another thing if they had some ostensible other form of doing anything. Instead, it just looks like they're ripping off golfers and paying golfers. But the only reason the China thing matters is because, look, the NBA doing business with them is, yes, the NBA's prerogative. I can sleep at night understanding that because I understand the geopolitical situation when dealing with a superpower.
Right.
It's not the same. You know what I mean? It's the same thing as people doing business with us. So it's a mirror situation in that regard. This is just a naked money grab with a circumstance that doesn't otherwise seem to have any ulterior motive. And I just, you know, it's just if you don't want it and you don't need it, why are you doing it?
All right. Here's where you lost me in that argument. You said because you understand the politics going on in China.
No, I understand what the politics are of dealing with different nations as just an entry point to being able to do anything.
Gotcha.
Much like how people have to deal with the U.S.'s nonsense as an entry point
but
to doing anything with the Americans.
Aren't the human rights violations in China equal to or worse than the human rights violations
it's
in Saudi Arabia?
It's not one for one like that, is what my point is. That's not how that works, in my opinion. That's just too granular for what the larger issue is to me as far as how that relates. And again, I'll sit down with the Chuckster and talk about this tomorrow. But the last thing I heard from him was, well, what about this and what about that? And it's like, well, that's just not the same. We're all smarter than that.
Now, I think I know the answer to this, but let me just ask.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a price. If the Live Tour came to you and said, hey, Clinton, we're going to build a sports network comparable to ESPN, and we're going to give you $20 million a year.
Yeah.
You don't even take the meeting?
It's not that I don't take the meeting, but I don't think I would say yes for one reason. I used to work at the Washington Post. It's not home. It's not family, but I don't know, man. I like to sleep at night. You know what I mean?
You would be thinking about Jamal Khashoggi the whole time.
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not going to act like I'm the most principled guy on earth, but this one is pretty cut and dry for me. You know, a guy who used to work at a place I worked. It'd be really tough for me. I'd have to consult with God, family, and pretty much everybody else I know first, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to live with myself.
Yeah, it's a very interesting story to follow.
Yeah.
I think, because if Charles goes, he's arguably, maybe some of the NFL guys, but he's arguably the most popular analyst we have in American sports.
Sure.
And if he goes, I think you're right. There are going to be some people that are going to say, done with you, and there are going to be other people going to say, good for you, get the bag.
Right.
You know, and so it'll be interesting to watch. But again, the story is that he's given the Live Tour until Thursday. They have not made him an offer. They may not. But he says if they don't make it by Thursday, he's not going to keep TNT hanging, and he's going to drop out of the of consideration.
It's a weird update for
me. We're going to get some resolution to this within 48 hours, is basically how this is going to go. All right. Coming up next, something I never knew about the Red Sea, and I'm learning it through Auburn basketball coach Bruce Pearl.
Oh, that guy.
And it's a tip we can all use. I'll explain next. Mason in Ireland, Clinton Yates in for Mace, ESPN LA.